Good morning and welcome to Monday morning, May the 13th in 2024 on When I Rise. Today we begin Year B, the day of Pentecost Sunday. And on the Monday of the week, let's take a look at the Old Testament passage, which comes to us from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary in this week of the church's calendar year. And so we go to a place that might be familiar, Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. So let me read that passage, provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making us part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. The Lord's power overcame me, and while I was in the Lord's spirit, he led me out and set me down in the middle of a certain valley. It was full of bones. He led me through them all around, and I saw that there were many, a great many of them on the valley floor, and they were very dry. He asked me, "Human one, can these bones live again?" I said, "Lord God, only you know." He said to me, "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the Lord's word.' The Lord God proclaims to these bones, 'I'm about to put breath in you and you will live again. I'll put sinews on you, place flesh on you, and cover you with skin. When I put breath in you and you come to life, you will know that I am the Lord.' I prophesied just as I was commanded. There was a great noise while I was prophesying, then a great quaking, and the bones came together bone by bone. When I looked, suddenly there were sinews on them. The flesh appeared, and then they were covered over with skin, but there was still no breath in them. He said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, human one. Say to the breath, the Lord God proclaims, come from the four winds, breath. Breathe into these dead bodies and let them live.' I prophesied just as he commanded me. When the breath entered them, they came to life and stood on their feet, an extraordinarily large company. He said to me, 'Human one, these bones are the entire house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are completely finished. So now prophesy and say to them, the Lord God proclaims, and opening your graves, I will raise up from your graves my people and I will bring you to Israel's fertile land. You will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you up from your graves, my people. I will put my breath in you and you will live. I will plant you on fertile land and you will know that I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it. This is what the Lord says." This is the word of God for us. All right, so we're going to celebrate the day of Pentecost this Sunday. It's just a one Sunday season in the life of the church. There's a good chance you may turn up to worship on Sunday and people are going to be wearing red because that is the color of the day of Pentecost in the liturgical calendar. There's different colors for the different seasons. And so if you want to be in style, in the spirit, then please wear red on Pentecost Sunday, right? Pentecost is a celebration of the Spirit being poured out to the church. And we'll cover that passage sometime this week. When you get to Acts chapter 2 and the day of Pentecost and the Spirit's given to the church, like there's obviously like when you read it, there's like some stuff that's been going on in the background that is barely mentioned or just inferred, or the writer Luke is just assuming that you know what's going on. So there's like this some strange details, some things that are not explained. And so that's what I love about the lectionary is that they allow, you know, whatever happens in Acts 2 to be faceted by some other stuff that's already been said, right? So we get to Ezekiel 37. This is a interesting passage. There's a good chance that if you do a devotional over Ezekiel, that this is like one of the main things you talk about. There's a good chance that if you cracked open your physical Bible to Ezekiel 37 this morning, that this is probably the only worn pages in the book of Ezekiel. I think it's like Ezekiel 37 and 47. I just remember the sevens are kind of the popular passages in Ezekiel. But why are we talking about prophesying and a breath and like dry bones coming to life again? Because the Hebrew word for spirit in both, the original language word in both Old and New Testaments, Hebrew and Greek, The word spirit is also related to the word for breath, right? And that's just, what is the animating force of something? It's the breath, right? If you ever, I don't know, if you're a new parent, or if you can remember when you were a new parent and you know, your first kiddo is in there sleeping in the room, and like all of a sudden, like they're sleeping so soundly. You can't, they're not snoring, but they're so still. And what's the first thing you look for? You look for if their chest is rising and falling, right? If there's breath in their lungs. I think this is something that the ancients considered as well. Like something is lifeless if it doesn't have breath, but is full of life if it does have the breath, right? And this is, let's go back to, you know, the stories of creation, particularly Genesis 2, when God formed human from the dust of the ground and breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living being, right? So breath is a signal that something is living, right? And so I think this is a governing question towards this part of the Old Testament story, right? Three big ideas in the Jewish theology was, who is God? Who are we as God's unique people? And then how is God going to fix his one creation that he loves with his one people that he's chosen? And I think there's probably an array of responses to all that. But after a long winding road of monarchies and of wicked kings and of hardships because of that, of exiles and of empires encroaching upon your territory, there had to have been this vibrant discussion. What is God going to, like, how is God going to not just fulfill the you know, unfinished part of the story, but how is God going to be faithful to those who were faithful to him even when it hurt, even when promises didn't come to pass, right? So you can go to like the waning parts of Hebrews 11, which is riffing on this idea. And so how is God going to reward the faithful who live faithful even though the promises didn't come to pass, they didn't cave into temptation, they passed the test? Surely God isn't just going to leave these faithful ones in the grave subject to decay. I mean, this is a refrain that comes up in the Psalms on occasion. And so we do sense that there is a new doctrine developing. And new doesn't, that, don't be scared by that. We shouldn't be scared by that. But like, there began this imagination began to swell of perhaps God's going to raise that. He's not going to allow his faithful ones to be left in the grave, but he's going to vindicate them. And so this corporate idea of resurrection, this theology began to develop towards the end of the Old Testament story. So this is one of the places where we see it most vividly. We see it also in the waning parts of Daniel. We see it in Hosea chapter 6. We see it here in Ezekiel 37. And what we see here is bones coming back together, bodies being reassembled, and a vast company being gathered, and God's vindication power, like bringing them out of their graves in order for them to see the promises of God come to pass. And so the Spirit of God is working in the midst of this. So even though this wasn't a fully developed idea in Ezekiel 37, as we continue to go through the story of Scripture, we see that the Spirit of God is going to be integral in this resurrection of the dead, the faithful dead, to inherit the promises of God, right? So a big part of resurrection is not just a resuscitation of a dead body. So there would have been a category for that. The church didn't say that. The church said resurrection and not resuscitation. Because we're not just coming back to life just so that we can, I don't know, enjoy more years. We're being raised so that we can enjoy the fulfillment of all of God's promises, right? I think this is important for us. I think we think about, we count down our days and whether we're making the most of them or not. We want to be faithful to God all the way to the end. And we'll be asking the question, like, what is it all going to matter? If I am faithful today and tomorrow and for years upon end, will God reward that faithfulness, right? We think about this broken, fractured world around us. We say, is it going to be fixed? And what's the purpose of it being fixed? Like, you know, what is all this, you know, being led to? What's all being led to is for the word of God coming to pass, that God is a faithful God. And God's not just going to enjoy his new age on his own, but he wants to enjoy it with us as his image-bearing creatures, right? So the things that you and I are worrying about today, that we're wringing our hands over, the ways in which this world and its pattern grieves us, all it's saying, and this is the church has been saying this, and this is a wonderful confession of the church, these things won't get the last word. Like our worries won't get the last word. The fractures in God's world won't get the last word. But Jesus is going to mend all of it. And a big piece of that is God giving his Spirit to us and to all of the people of God so that we can be those who participate with God in the mending of the universe around us, right? So as you and I go to schools and as we go to workplaces, as we engage in family systems that are just not right, that need to be fixed and amended, we can take great hope that we're not doing this on our own power, but a power is being bestowed to us. It's God's very life so that we can see all the world being put back together. So those things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for the week of Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, because it reminds us of the grand story of your redemption. It also reminds us that we are not left on our own. It reminds us that as we grieve for the world and as we move into the world to try to make it better, that we don't operate simply on our own power or our own ideas, but we receive wisdom, we receive strength, and we receive community in order to be on the mission of God together. And so God, we will move to schools and to workplaces and to neighborhoods, and we'll dwell in families where stuff needs to be fixed and things need to be put back together. Sometimes we're at a loss of words. Other times we know what we should do, but we lack the courage to take the first faithful step. And so we just simply pray that you would give us your power, that we'd sense just a reservoir of strength, something that causes us to move towards faithfulness today, because it's a signal that you're putting us and the whole world back together. And so God, give us your leadership. Allow us to know what you'd like us to do today, that first faithful step, so that we can watch your redemption story advance to its next episode in and through our lives today. So God, we thank you that you love the world. We love the world as well. And so as we move into this world, God, may we see you put it back together so that we can rejoice with you as your story continues to take shape in front of our eyes. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.